I feel that an outdoor experience has and has a profound and can have a profound and positive effect and influence on any person, and especially a young adult, when they are forming, you know, who they are. And so if we can give our nation's kids an outdoor experience, they will indeed become better stewards. They'll care more about the environment. It will allow the future generations to take care of what I think our generations and generations before us have already started. But it has to start with having a personal, up-close relationship with the outdoors.
Good morning. I'm Tommy Howe, and welcome to another edition of Tree Huggers International from the studios of KBZT, FM 94.9 in San Diego. Tree Huggers International is a weekly natural science and environmental affairs program dedicated to the preservation of parks, wilderness, and special places. From the beaches to the mountains to the deserts, this is Tree Huggers International. Be careful and use this show with caution, because you might just learn something. We are very fortunate to be joined today by a pair of dedicated outdoorsmen who are working to get more kids into the outdoors and introduce kids to wilderness exploration and stewardship by way of Adventure 16's Donate a Pack Foundation, giving new life to old gear. If you love hiking, camping, climbing, and heading into the backcountry, you're probably already familiar with Adventure 16 stores. They've been in business since 1962, selling gear and clothing for the great outdoors. And joining us is John Mead, the president of Adventure 16 since 1991 and the founder of Adventure 16's Donate a Pack Foundation. John first came to San Diego to help his uncle manage and grow Adventure 16, and his work in the outdoor industry was recognized in 1995 when he was named the Outdoor Industry's Leader of the Year. John is also a founding director of the Mount Helix Park Foundation, which owns the Mountaintop Nature Park atop Mount Helix near La Mesa. And also joining us is David McDonald, president of the Donate a Pack Foundation. David is probably one of the busiest, most active people I know. David first got involved as an outdoors volunteer in the San Diego area when he became the regional coordinator for the American Hiking Society in 1993. He was instrumental in bringing the first National Trails Day to San Diego that year. David's also brought together a number of San Diego Trails advocacy groups, including hikers, mountain bikers, and equestrians, to work together in a partnership to preserve, protect, and maintain local trails in San Diego County. David was awarded the 1996 Jim Kern Award for Volunteer of the Year by the American Hiking Society. And in addition to being president, David is also a founding member of the Donate a Pack Foundation. He's also the operations manager for San Diego Golf Reservations, his family's 15-year-long corporate golf reservation service, and David even runs his own music promotion and management company and record label. Gentlemen, a big hearty welcome to Tree Huggers International.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tommy.
I want to thank you both right off the bat for all you've done with and for the outdoors here in Southern California. And I want to talk a little bit about your background. I wanted to ask each of you about your formative years and what really got you interested in the outdoors. Now, John, you're from Idaho. You're from the Gem State. And I can't imagine a more perfect place to be a kid. I can't imagine a more perfect place than Idaho for someone to get used to heading into the backcountry with a pack and a tent and just learning all those outdoor skills and really appreciating wilderness.
Well, I grew up in the 60s and 70s in southern Idaho, and my dad was an outdoorsman, and he was a backpacker from the 40s and 50s and introduced me to that in the form of scouting and taking me out on our own adventures together up in the Sawtooth Wilderness area of central Idaho. And I just feel very fortunate that I had that as a part of my life, and I think that was a big part of my development and appreciation for the outdoors. So he really introduced that to me, along with scouting.
That's a gorgeous part of Idaho. I know a lot of folks in Idaho will stack up their wilderness to any of the other 50 states. And you were a Boy Scout, too.
That's right.
That does a lot to encourage stewardship and really make you aware of your obligation, not only to your fellow scouts, but just everyone, really.
Scouting really has introduced tens of thousands of, not hundreds of thousands of kids to the outdoors. It is the number one way when you ask someone of our generation how they were introduced to the outdoors. It is by far the number one way that our generation was introduced to it. And my only hope is that it'll continue to do that.
And then, David, you're from Boston originally. How did you get into the outdoors? Was it through the Scouts, or were you taking weekends and going out into the Adirondacks and the Catskills, or did you get more into trails and the outdoors once you came to California?
Actually, as a young child also in the 60s, I was fortunate to live just a few blocks from some woods, as we call them, although it was most people consider them forests. And we used to go adventure seeking, you know, up into those woods. And I guess I just had an appreciation for the open space that was there. I probably also spent a lot of time there just to get away from doing chores or something like that. But I used to spend a lot of time up there. And actually, as far as scouting goes, I think I only went through Cub Scouts a couple of years. I think my mom was a, what do they call them, Cub Master.
Den Mother.
There you go. Thank you. And I only lasted a couple of years. I think at the time, I've been very independent my whole life. I think I felt like I could probably do it myself. However, I got into sports as we got into high school and so forth, and I didn't really spend as much time until I got out to California, and that was my dream in 1976. I left Boston with a backpack and a sleeping bag and have enjoyed traveling throughout the Southwest, exploring all the wonderful things that it has to offer.
Go West, young man.
There you go. There you go. That's exactly what I did.
And then, John, your uncle had founded Adventure 16. Is that correct?
Right. My dad's brother, Mick, founded, actually, he bought the company in 1970. The company was founded by, interestingly enough, a group of Boy Scout explorers in 1962. And they had a better way to carry a load, to make a pack, to carry a load more comfortably. And it was the original pack that wrapped around the hips and put more weight on the hips, and it was pretty much a garage operation until 1970 when my uncle got involved and my dad got involved, and they had business backgrounds, and they were also backpackers, and it was just a perfect fit. And in 1970, they started opening stores, and at this point, we've got Adventure 16 has seven stores.
And can you tell me a little bit about Adventure 16's backpacker swap meets? When did those begin?
Those began, I think, in 1974 was the first backpacker swap meet. And the idea was designed just to be a rendezvous to get a bunch of backpackers together to swap gear. And at that time, backpacking was in its boom phase. It grew from a small event into a point where it took over our entire parking lot in Alvarado and San Diego in the late 70s and early 80s. And now it still goes on. We actually tried one year to just not do it, and people showed up anyway.
And so is that where the genesis of the idea came from, to start having folks donate gear for folks who were having a hard time affording gear for doing things in the outdoors?
That's exactly right. It was probably in the early 90s that I observed something really cool. It was at the end of the swap meet. There was a fellow that had tried, you know, all day long to sell his old orange backpack. And we also had a Boy Scout troop that was with Adventure 16 chartered, and they were selling hot dogs and treats. And at the end of the day, the guy couldn't sell his pack for $10 or whatever he was trying to get out for. So he walked over to the snack bar where the scouts were, and they gave it to him. They said, I couldn't sell this today, if you guys can use it. And they were just delighted. And this pack was an old, very old pack, but they were delighted to get it. And, it occurred to me that there were probably, tens of thousands of backpacks and sleeping bags and tents hanging out in people's attics and they're taken up in their room and their garages, that they would, appreciate or like enjoy giving to an organization or a group who would go out and breathe it some new life. People get very attached to their outdoor gear, as you probably know, Tom, and so when it comes to giving it away, they'd like to know that it's going to be used by someone who appreciates it, and that was really the genesis of the organization.
Some of my best gear is used gear. Do you ever find any treasures or any odd pieces of gear or equipment you just don't see anymore?
We really do. We've gotten some original Kelty backs in their boxes. Kelty was still is a strong name, but it was one of the originators of the modern backpacking era. And we, a couple of years ago, got a couple of them donated to us that were brand new in their original boxes. And so that was a nice treasure find. And we've gotten some original A16 packs over the years as well. Many times those packs are just so outdated that that nobody really wants those. So we end up putting in our Donate a Pack Foundation Vintage 16 Museum. But we've got some old classic stoves and that kind of thing. And the one reason people hang on to this is there is that sentimental attachment to some gear that has seen them through some fantastic adventures. And we've gotten some packs and that kind of thing covered with patches of hundreds or dozens of trails that people have gone on. So it's pretty neat.
What made you begin to realize there were kids who were interested in getting into the outdoors, but they just didn't have the resources to get the necessary gear?
Well, what made me realize that, what drove that home, the genesis of Donate a Pack Foundation are a couple of things. That swap meet incident I talked about. The other thing that was real interesting, both sons were scouts and Eagle Scouts, and in the 90s. And I remember sitting around a parents group and talking about an upcoming trip. And I remember one mother just really kind of concerned that she wasn't going to be able to send little Ralph on the next trip because she just couldn't afford the gear. And that got me thinking about it as well. And I thought, well, this troop really ought to have its own cache of gear that kids can utilize. And so moms and dads don't have to go out and spend a fortune on it. And kids do grow. They need new equipment and new shoes and that kind of thing. And it can be very expensive to have someone in scouting or going to a YMCA camp or many of these other camps that take kids into the wilderness. And so our objective, and Dave knows this from our early years at Donate a Pack forming the group, our objective was to not have anyone out there that is taking kids into the outdoors be in need of any gear. And so the objective of Donate a Pack was to completely fund for free all the gear people needed. Now, we haven't been able to accomplish all of that because there is so much of a need out there, but I think we've put a very large dent in Southern California. And Donate a Pack Foundation is focused just on donating gear to organizations in Southern California.
And then, Dave, how did you come into becoming one of the founders for the Donate a Pack Foundation?
Well, I think I first met John back in 1993 when I was the regional coordinator for the first National Trails Day. And I believe I approached Adventure 16 to be one of the sponsors. And I think that was when we first met and started a friendship. And then I was involved many years after that in the outdoor industry through the American Hiking Society. And then in 1997, John approached me and asked me if I would be a founding member of the organization. And I just received the Volunteer of the Year award from the American Hiking Society, and I figured it was a great segue into that.
If you're just joining us, this is Tree Huggers International, broadcast from the studios of KBZT, FM 94.9 in San Diego. I'm Tommy Helm, and joining us is John Mead, the president of Adventure 16 and the founder of Adventure 16's Donate a Pack Foundation. And also joining us is David McDonald, the president of the Donate a Pack Foundation. It's great to have both of you here today. This is just a great conversation. It's great spending time with you guys. And I wanted to ask the two of you, what do you think kids and young adults get out of spending time in a wilderness setting? Dave, you want to try answering that?
Just the freedom, I think, particularly with the organizations that we've been assisting through the years. Probably our biggest group of young kids that we help today are Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. They already have a passion for it, but parents might not have the money to afford that passion, so we've been fortunate to be able to help out many of them. But in addition to that, we have a lot of groups that take children out that are either at risk, they're inner city at risk children, and these nonprofit organizations have little outdoor programs that they offer them to let them explore something that they may never have explored before, and that is wilderness, whether it's just going out to Mission Trails Park here locally in San Diego, or taking a camping trip up to the Sierra Nevada Mountains. And what it does is the organization helps them with the equipment that makes it possible for them to be able to camp out or have a backpack, maybe a sleeping bag to sleep overnight and so forth. And I think once that obstacle is overcome as far as the equipment, because obviously everybody needs equipment to do these types of things, then they have a better attitude and are more open to enjoy, you know, swimming in a river, hiking down a trail where there's nothing but trees for miles and miles. And a lot of these kids may never have had this opportunity if it wasn't for an organization like ours to help them.
One of the things I always talk about on this program, I haven't talked about it much lately, but is stewardship. And again, with the scouting background, you have an awareness that there's something larger than just yourself. There's larger than something than just the movie that we're in. And one of the best ways to make kids aware of this, and young adults and teenagers, is just to get them out and show them these are wonderful places, and they're protected for a reason, and they're there for you to enjoy. But you do need, you know, a good pack and a good sleeping bag and a decent tent to go out and spend some time in some of these places. There's a set of skills and confidence you develop about yourself after you've camped a few times or taken on a tough or lengthy outdoor challenge. And at the risk of me talking all day, how do you think these kinds of experiences affect kids who don't have any experience in the outdoors? John?
I feel that the stewardship really starts with appreciation, and appreciation can't be had unless somebody has an up-close personal involvement with the outdoors or whatever it is that the cause that they're trying to promote. I feel that an outdoor experience has a profound and can have a profound and positive effect and influence on any person, and especially a young adult when they are forming, you know, who they are. And so if we can give our nation's kids an outdoor experience, they will indeed become better stewards. They'll care more about the environment. It will allow the future generations to take care of what I think our generations and generations before us have already started. But it has to start with having a personal up-close relationship with the outdoors.
And then the Adventure 16 Donate a Pack Foundation, the best website is donateapack.org. What are some ways folks can donate materials? Can they just drop off materials at Adventure 16 store?
Yes, they can. We've had a lot of support from regular A16 customers who are familiar with our organization, and they donate all their used old gear to us. It's tax deductible on their end, so that's an advantage as well. But like John said earlier, most of these people are appreciative that they know that this equipment that they're donating to us is going to help a young child to experience the same kind of experiences they maybe had either as a child or also as an adult. The other way that we get equipment is from our supporters, our manufacturers in the outdoor industry. I just go ahead and mention right now, our founding supporter was Gregory Mountain Products and Wayne Gregory, who started that company and was also, I believe, one of the first A16 employees. Is that correct,
That's
John?
Correct, uh-huh.
And he started the organization by donating a large amount of packs and has for many, many years. Whenever they have an oversupply or something like that throughout the year, they will donate packs. And it's companies like Gregory Mountain Products, Sierra Designs, Stan Sport. We've got the North Face. I mean, I can go on. The list goes on and on. Every company that makes either a backpack, a sleeping bag, or a tent has in some way helped our organization help the kids get in the outdoors with their donations.
That's really a remarkable amount of outdoor manufacturers. And this is overstock that they're donating. This is new material. Is that correct?
Yep. Sometimes it is. I mean, about half of the product that we donate back out to organizations comes to us from the generosity of our customers. And about half comes from our vendors, and it comes in two ways. One is just a straight outright donation. They've got an overstock, or they just particularly want to support what we're doing, and they'll donate product to us. The other way is Dave will coordinate a lot of fundraisers that we'll put on various things where we're selling refreshments at the Banff Film Festival, or at the Swap Meet we sell refreshments, and we sell some of the products that we don't have a calling for. It might be a stove that, you know, nobody's asked for, and so we'll end up, you know, selling that product. And with that money, then we were able to go out to or some of our vendors and secure outstanding deals on new products. So those are the three ways that we get gear.
Dave, can you talk about some of the fundraisers that are going to be going on this year?
Yeah, every year in March, we sponsor the Banff Mountain Film Festival. A16 is a sponsor of that. It's held at the Natural History Museum in Balboa Park. It's typically three nights. And all three nights, we'll bring volunteers from our organization to set up concessions there, and we'll sell desserts and water and coffee before the event and at intermission. And that's how we raise some of that money that we use to buy equipment that we need. We've also done the swap meet that John mentioned in May. Coming up next year or the end of this year, typically we're going to take the summer off, give everybody a break, and then in fall we'll probably come up with some small fundraisers that people can find out about from our website at donateapack.org. But we're hoping with my music connection as well, I'm putting together possibly a concert or a music show that will be a fundraiser as well. And hopefully we'll bring in some vendors and so forth, and they'll be able to show some of their gear. But that's one of my plans for the future, is to do something like a music show.
You got to let us know about that.
Oh, of course I will.
Yeah.
I'd like to, you know, just reinforce the fact that what an outdoor experience can do for a child. I talked about it having a positive and profound effect on someone growing up. I know that's true because of my own life experiences, and I've seen so many, you know, kids who have turned around or grown with their character by going out and experiencing the outdoors. It teaches self-reliance, it teaches confidence, it teaches teamwork. I think it is the reason that you see so many of these organizations who are turning at-risk kids around using the outdoors as a place to do that, and as an experience, you know, to do that, because it does, it puts everything into perspective when you're out there. It makes life simpler, so you can kind of break it down and really experience and bring out who a person is and their better side. So I really just reinforce that. And that is the reason that the Donate a Pack Foundation exists, is to be able to have kids have an outdoor experience that will train them for the rest of their lives.
Boy, and you really do take those skills with you forever, too. And you take that appreciation with you. Yeah, absolutely. Your problems get very, very small.
That's right.
When you're on the trail.
Yeah.
The website is www.donateapack.org. That's donateapack.org. Phone number is area code 619-283-2362, and that's extension 106.
Correct.
283-2362, extension 106. You know, John, before we wrap things up, I just wanted to ask you a little bit about the Mount Helix Park.
Sure.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it was an organization that was founded as a need to have private ownership for that park. The park was put in play in 1925. And on top of Mount Helix, where the cross is. And in the late 80s, early 90s, there was a lawsuit. Everyone's, I think, familiar in San Diego with what happened with the lawsuit with Mount Soledad as well as Mount Helix. And our organization was formed by a group of individuals who cared about the park and did not want to see it go into private ownership. It had a difference of opinion about how the park was used. In other words, they wanted to develop it in some way. And so we went and petitioned the court, and we showed them that we had a caring for the park. We wanted it to live on in a way that was the original founders put it into play. We demonstrated that we could do that. We were not only willing to do that, but we had the resources to do that, and that we would raise the money to do that. And very proud to say that that organization is going strong, founded in 1998, and is still going strong, and made a ton of improvements up there. And that organization is the trustee for that park.
And that's just great, too, for one of the great landmarks in San Diego. And you live over by Coles Mountain, right, Dave, Trails?
I live at Mission Trails Park and usually go in there hiking and mountain biking at least 3 or 4 times a week when I have time.
Things are tough all over.
Yeah, really.
It's rattlesnake season, too, so you got to watch out.
Yeah, I heard. And they're a little bit more toxic, I guess, this year for some reason. I also want to mention one thing, and I want to give a plug to a very important book for people to read that kind of overall explains what we're doing here. It's actually written by a local writer, Richard Louv, and the name of the book is Last Child in the Woods, Saving Our Children from Nature Deficit Disorder. And it's a very informative book. I've read a little bit about it on the internet. John's read the whole book. And it came out actually after we started our foundation, which actually gives a lot of credence to what we're doing here and why it's so important. Today's kids, with all the technology, are not going out into the woods as much as, say, John and I when we were in the 60s, and that's pretty much all you had unless you wanted to watch a small 10-inch black and white TV.
The 10-inch Philco.
Yeah, there you go. But there is a disorder out there called nature deficit disorder, and it's all explained in that book. And I would encourage you, Tommy, to invite the author to come in and talk about it. He's a very informative guy and has a lot of to say about how important it is to get our children out into the outdoors.
Well, nature deficit disorder, it is definitely curable. Step one, turn off the TV. I like to say throw the TV out the window, but that's not really socially responsible. So just turn off the television, turn off the video games, and get out the baseball mitt.
Something. That's a great idea.
Absolutely.
John Mee, the president of Adventure 16 and the founder of Adventure 16's Donate a Pack Foundation. David McDonald, the president of the Donate a Pack Foundation. Great having you guys here today. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I look forward to catching up with you guys next time.
Likewise. Thank you,
Tommy. All right. Thank you, Tommy, for the opportunity.
That's going to wrap things up for this week's edition of Tree Huggers International. I'm Tommy Howe. Thanks once again to our guests, Adventure 16 president John D. Mead, a great supporter of the outdoors, and the president of the Adventure 16 Adopt-A-Pack Foundation, David McDonald. You can learn more about the A16 Adopt-A-Pack program, its mission, supporters, ongoing events, and how you can donate your used gear at www.donateapack.org. That's www.donateapack.org. DonateaPack.org. You can also call the Adopt-A-Pack Foundation at 619-283-2362. Extension 106. That's 619-283-2362, extension 106. Adventure 16 does a wonderful job of furthering environmental conservation efforts and the work of nonprofit education programs, and you can learn more about Adventure 16 and their five Southern California locations in West Los Angeles, Tarzana, South Oceanside, Solana Beach, and San Diego Mission Valley at www.adventure16.com. That's adventure1616.com. Cool website, lots of great information there, and you can also link to Adventure 16's Facebook and Twitter pages from their homepage as well. The opinions and views expressed on Tree Huggers International do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of FM94.9 or Lincoln Financial Media, and as producer, I am solely responsible for this program's content. Questions, complaints, concerns, compliments, you can email me at tommy@fm949sd.com. Also at the Tree Huggers International website, you can listen to and download previous editions of the show. You can see photos and read more about the stories discussed, and new shows are always made available via podcast. www.treehuggersintl.com. That's treehuggersintl.com. This is Tommy Howe for Tree Huggers International from the studios of KBZT, FM 94.9 in San Diego. We'll be back same time next Sunday morning with another take on natural science and environmental affairs as we continue our mission to preserve parks, wildlands, and special places on Tree Huggers International. Enjoy the rest of your weekend and be well.